Now we go to Baghdad. Fighting continues in the Sunni stronghold of Fallujah. The northern city of Mosul appears calmer today after U.S. and Iraqi troops stormed several places in the city yesterday in an effort to take control of police stations and streets taken over by insurgents last week. Meanwhile, the U.S. military is conducting an investigation into the death last weekend of a wounded Iraqi fighter by a Marine. He was killed by a Marine in Fallujah, and the British government says it believes that Margaret Hassan, the British-Iraqi head of the aid organization CARE, probably was killed by her kidnappers. Joining us for an update on these events is Washington Post reporter Anthony Shadid. He's just returned to Iraq after a six-month leave to write a book about his year covering the war from its start last March. For his reporting on the war, Anthony Shadid won this year's Pulitzer Prize for International Reporting, and it's nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
I'm happy to be here.
A lot of news to catch up on. First of all, Anthony, the front page story in today's Washington Post is about the fighting in both Mosul and Fallujah. The impression we got from Fallujah in particular was that this operation was just winding up.
You know, we'd heard that about over this weekend, that the city was largely under control of U.S. forces, but insurgents in the city have proved resilient, and the fighting has continued, at times flaring pretty intensely over the past couple of days. There was fighting again today. You know, different reports on whether insurgents were coming into the city or leaving the city, but there's no question that there quite a bit of shooting continues to go on there.
Now, you quote a top Iraqi insurgent, a man named Abdullah Janabi, as saying the Americans have opened the gates of hell, referring to the offensive there in Fallujah, and that the battle is just beginning. What did he mean by that? How credible is he?
Well, Janabi is definitely an insurgent leader. He's been based in Fallujah. It was kind of remarkable that he still was in Fallujah. Iraqi officials and U.S. commanders had suggested that he and other insurgent leaders had fled the city, possibly even before American troops entered Fallujah. But he is still there, and he claimed that another leader, Omar Hadid, was still in the town as well. Janabi is definitely speaking to what the insurgents hope to do with this round of fighting, and that is to spread the battle through the Sunni regions of Iraq, the regions that are north and west of Baghdad. I think what we're probably watching here is how resilient that insurgency proves. The U.S. military definitely sees a window here to try to bring some stability ahead of elections in January. And the insurgents are pretty determined to make sure that stability doesn't happen. I mean, I think their calculus is that if those elections come off, it'll be seen as a victory for the U.S. project here.
There were always questions about whether Fallujah would create more insurgents than it killed. There's a story, obviously, in your paper and every other paper around the world today about the killing of a wounded Iraqi insurgent by a Marine in a mosque in Fallujah. This has been widely seen across Iraq, this video of this incident. Are people getting angry about it?
You know, I can't speak authoritatively on that point. I just haven't spoken to enough people about it. I mean, we've definitely heard opinions in both directions. I mean, I think, you know, people were, it got relentless coverage on Arab satellite channels, very graphic coverage, parts of it that weren't broadcast in the United States were indeed broadcast in Iraq and other Arab countries. And I think there was a certain level of resentment. I think when you talk about Iraq, though, there's been this background of just relentless carnage that's transpired over the past few months. And I think when I don't want to speak with authority. I've only been here for a couple of days, but you do get the sense just in these initial conversations that there's such a kind of almost a weariness over the violence and a sense that it's not going to necessarily get better, that it may get worse. And I think there's a little bit of dread about that.
Let's get a caller on the line. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Kent is with us from Tucson, Arizona.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
I have a basic question, which is, what is the sort of official stance of the administration as to how the siege of Fallujah is supposed to bring us closer to elections when it was, you know, fairly predictable, I think, that, you know, when they started this process that it was going to, you know, have the consequences of, like, removing the Sunni participation from the process, you know, both symbolic and diplomatically, and that, you know, the likely consequences, given that they're fighting, you know, guerrilla warfare, is that they would split, reevaluate, and that's why we saw light to moderate resistance and then a rise in violence in the surrounding areas.
Well, do you have a...
You know, you get to...
Go ahead, Anthony, I'm sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I think you get the sense from the military that, you know, they saw a window here that, you know, the elections are still 2 months away, and Fallujah, you know, has basically been an independent region for several months. It's definitely been the insurgent stronghold in the country, and I think the thinking of the military was that unless we deal with Fallujah, then we're going to have no chance of re-exerting control over the rest of the Sunni regions. But I think the caller's right. There's a huge risk in that, and that risk is that that the Sunni regions of Iraq are roiled, that there isn't stability, and that elections don't come off in those regions just because of the lack of stability. And if elections don't come off, then it will be very difficult to claim they have the legitimacy that they probably need to bring about a government that enjoys widespread support.
I guess I'm just, you know, sort of curious that, you know, some of the first things that happened immediately afterwards are that, you know, again, the Sunni withdrawal from participation, and then there were conversations in the newspaper, at least about, you know, possible connections that were going to be made between, Muqtada al-Sadr's group and some Sunnis to sort of, you know, join hands in boycotting this process. I'm thinking, you know, well, how in the world is that supposed to get us, you know, closer to ballots and stuff like that in, come January?
Yeah.
Thanks for your time.
Well, Sadr remains a wild card. Sadr is, you know, we haven't, it was interesting, the last, I basically left Iraq after these twin uprisings in April, uprisings in Fallujah and then among Muqtada Sadr's group in Shiite areas in Baghdad and southern Iraq. And there was really, really intense popular anger over the fighting. And there was a lot of resentment that you saw that the U.S. was seen as only being able to apply force to solve problems. You haven't seen that eruption. I mean, again, I hesitate to say anything, again, with authority because I've only been here briefly, but, you know, just at first glance, you haven't seen that eruption of popular anger that you saw in April. And, is that due to the carnage that we've seen over the past, some of the beheadings, the suicide car bombings that have killed so many civilians? I don't know. But there definitely is a different mood here, I think, than we saw 6 months ago.
Let's talk with Bo. Bo's calling from Mentor, Ohio. Excuse me.
Yes, hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, yes. My comment was, I was deployed last year to Iraq with the Marines as a Navy corpsman, and just from watching what's going on now, it's definitely gotten worse, and I'm disappointed in our administration, the fact that they don't admit to that it's getting worse, that the violence is there, and I don't really think that they're being honest with the American public. I don't think this is one of the times where you need to put on a safe face kind of thing. I think that they need to be realistic, and people need to realize that when their sons and daughters go over there this time, the Iraqis aren't as happy as they were, and you're never going to get candy and flowers from these people. They just basically want us out of their country.
Bo, thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Anthony Shadid, you've been back, just as he said, a couple of days, but do you get any impressions about whether things have improved or gotten worse?
I don't think there's any question. Except, you know, I think it's definitely gotten worse. Baghdad is a very grim place right now. It's a city that, when I arrived, was in the midst of one of the most prominent, most holidays, usually a time of celebration, and it was very solemn. I think you can see it, you know, pretty much everywhere in the city, people are very reluctant to go out at night. There's a lot of fear about the violence. There's not a lot of, there doesn't seem to be a lot of optimism. And, you know, and again, that's only initial conversations and just, you know, brief talks with people, but it's a sad statement how little optimism I've seen so far. Mm.
You did take 6 months off to write a book, which is coming out next summer?
It's coming out in August.
In August. What's the title?
Night Draws Near.
By
comes from an old Arabic song that I listen to every day while we're reporting in Baghdad.
Good luck with it, Anthony Shadid. I hope we'll have a chance to talk with you many times before it's out. But in any case, good luck.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Anthony Shadid is the Baghdad correspondent for The Washington Post. He spoke with us on the phone from Baghdad. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.